Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us here. It's Reverend Benjamin Leonard Cooper with Sandra. Today we're in the podcasting room at Elim Church. We thank you for listening to all our podcasts. We hope you're all well. We're just going to be speaking with Sandra this morning, a good friend of ours and a lovely sister that comes to this church here in Elim Swanee when we're out of lockdown. Sandra is in the world of the persecuted church and we have quite a lot to talk about this morning. So good morning, Sandra.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm not too bad. Yeah. Got a little bit of a thing with my ear at the moment, so you might have to ask me the questions.
lots of things floating about this morning, this afternoon. You know, there's a lot of hay fever and all sorts of things going on. David well?
Yeah, he's well. Yeah, my husband is busy working at home.
Working at home
until they open up the office.
Until they open. When will that be? We don't know. We don't know. But thank you so much for joining us this morning, Sandra. We're going to press in this morning. We're just going to have a quick recap what we've been looking at. Discrimination, we highlighted that, didn't we, before? And spoke about Vietnam. And if you was, this is really interesting. If you're a Christian in Vietnam at this present time through COVID-19, we're hearing, and what we were talking about last week, that the government are actually saying that Jesus Christ will supply for you.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So we were highlighting about the lack or, not getting aid during this COVID situation in different parts of the world where Christians are persecuted. And particularly a partner in Vietnam said, this pastor had said to him that he was told, "You are Christians and your God shall take care of you. The government is not responsible to take care of your family." So that's what's happened. So
happening in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Yeah.
So we're having a real test on our faith, aren't we, at the moment? You know, a real test, a real stretching of our faith.
Yeah.
You know, the scripture says, "Our God shall supply all our needs according to His riches in glory."
Yeah.
So it's really a strange time we're going through, and in Vietnam, that really has made me go a bit quiet actually thinking about that. That we got the authorities finding out that if you're a believer, secret believer, if you're believing in Christ, that they're saying that if you believe in Jesus, we are going to not give you aid. We're not going to give you supplies.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to help you in any way, shape or form. And Jesus will look after you.
Mm-hmm.
It's as if you're being put to a test, isn't it?
It is. It does seem like that.
You're being put to a test.
Yes.
And will you say, will you renounce Christ? Will you let Christ go?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So
food or your faith.
Food or aid.
Or
fend for yourself.
Jesus.
Your God will supply for you.
Yeah.
Where is your faith?
Mm.
Wow. So just recapping in discrimination as well, and highlighted distribution of aid in different countries. Now, we want to know some forms and examples of persecution. Mm-hmm. What have you got for us this morning, Sandra?
Well, we're going to move on to oppression, which is a big one that affects a lot of Christians around the world, and oppression covers laws which are put in place, to either stop evangelism or, prevent church meetings or restrict church meetings or affect planning permission, not allowing churches to build or even to buy land to build some type of church structure. And also affects Bibles, either not being allowed them or having it restricted, so those are things that oppression covers. And also, the threat of being put in prison for not following these laws. Usually it starts with fines people are fined. They may be then restricted, and they'll be sort of followed and by particular either government agents or by the police, and they will be warned. And if they continue to not follow the laws, which you see are then in conflict with their belief about Jesus being a Jesus follower, and that Jesus said spread the gospel, they continue to spread the gospel, then they can find themselves in prison under false charges for disturbing the peace, for going against the government, they will bring up false charges. And of course, this is, you know, to stop the spread of Christianity, to spread stop people talking about Jesus, and to disrupt Christian meetings, so that they feel that will weaken them. You know, if Christians can't meet together, then that will weaken things.
So if they can stop the evangelism, stop the spread of the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John.
Yeah, passing it on to their children, that's affected too. Mm-hmm. And converting, particularly from one religion to another. There's been a lot of anti-conversion laws, particularly in India and Pakistan. You know, and now we've got China coming up with communism, that you either follow the leader. Even they're saying about worship, you know, that they need to, they put the posters up and they worship and taking down the crosses and putting the poster up
so
in place.
The crosses have been swapped for the poster of the leader of the nation.
Yeah. And even going back to Mao, they're even doing that now. So
you've got to worship the leader rather than Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And then you've got teaching that, you know, they can't do any sort of teaching. So with that, even in schools, like, you know, have a Christian education
that's been stripped away.
Yeah. And of course, you know, what they want to do is then cause stress on the families, because they'll take the leaders. So they'll put, you know, the pastor in prison or the leader in prison, or take your dad, you know, and put him in prison. And then that stresses the family, leaves them the wife on her own with the children. And so that's a real test of hardship, you know. But obviously our God is bigger than this. And
we're
going to share
able.
Some wonderful, you know, stories
just,
of...
Just listening and looking at what we're referring to put laws in place, fines, to stop the spread of evangelism, to even possibly go down a road of... segregation from your family, putting you in prison, and stop church planting, buildings going up, Bibles and imprisonment. Following Jesus, following our Lord and following the Messiah is the most hardest thing that anyone could ever do. When you look at all this in the West and in the UK, we're sitting very, very comfortable, I would say. There's no real squeeze of persecution at the moment. There might be a little bit in a few places. But when you look about this, laws and fines being put in place to stop Christians and the growth of the word of God. But we go back to the book of Acts and you can see the same oppression that was put on then, wasn't it? But it never stopped it whatsoever.
No.
So it doesn't matter what's going to happen and how they think that the authorities are going to try and stop Christianity. Nothing can stop the seed, stop the word of God growing. It is so powerful. It will grow, it will move in the darkest of climates. It will grow, it will, you could say, germinate as the seed would. It will spring from heart to heart. Nothing is going to stop, no matter what they do. But isn't it interesting, the more the press of persecution, the more of the squeeze, the more the oil, the anointing flows in people's lives.
Yeah, it is amazing, because like you say, you know, going back to the book of Acts, when I read about these people in these particular countries, you can see that at work. I mean, you know, they really rely on the Holy Spirit. They're praying, and like the Lord will guide them to meet somebody or, you know, because of these laws, that's when the church goes underground.
So, and when you say goes underground, when we talk about going underground, we're referring to it disappears off of the surface of the earth. So it, then they become the secret church.
They become the secret church. They're you know, if a country is saying that all the churches have to be registered, they have to make that decision of thinking, well, if, you know, we want to meet, we believe that's right to do, as it says, you know, in the Bible, that, you know, don't neglect the meeting together. Then they have to be unregistered. The reason that happens is because the government or whoever, you know, the power in charge will make it very difficult for them to register. So they may be in a process of trying to register. So it's not that they're, you know, wanting to be disobedient. They're, you know, they're sort of wanting to do the right thing and show the government that they're working.
They're following,
But the process often is so long-winded that they are forced into that situation.
So do you think it's going back to, like we just talking about Acts, we see in Acts about the house church, how the house church, how the gathering together, where people sold their belongings, completely different to what we see in the church today, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
When you look at the church in the book of Acts, they sold everything, they yes. gave to the poor, and yeah. everything that they was doing. And when you look at the church today, I'm talking globally, when you look at the church today, it is probably the richest when you look at the wealth of the church. When you look how much money it's got, it's the opposite to what the scripture says. I understand what it also says about a worker is due their money and on all what it says, you know, and worth the work of their hand in ministry and all that. But there comes a time, doesn't there, where it gets into an area of not being correct. So when you look at the church today and you look at the book of Acts and the church in the book of Acts, they sold everything. They gave up everything they had around them, and they went into. So that was a, like an underground church as well, wasn't it? When you look, when you look at that really carefully, they had oppression. They didn't hold on to any wealth whatsoever. They gave to the poor, and when we say gave to the poor, we're talking about they gave themselves. And we know that there are churches and great ministries around the world that are doing that. But when you take the whole church, and you put all the money of the church, you think what we could, who we could house, who we could look after. So when you go back to the early church, the house church, that was being oppressed, really being oppressed under the authority at Jesus' time. But nothing stopped the seed from growing.
No.
And it shows you, and the reason I'm speaking about money, it shows you that money is irrelevant in God's kingdom.
That's right.
Well, it's irrelevant.
He had the loaves and the fishes, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
I always think about that and often pray that for, you know, our brothers and sisters who are suffering. You know, I say, Lord, you know.
Supply
their needs and you know, multiply, you know, what they have, you know. And there are incidences of that, including like in North Korea with the rice. Yes. I mean, they get a very minimal rice amount, you know, they're restricted to a certain amount, and they share that.
And that's what I was
saying. And they call that holy rice.
They call that holy rice. And they're sharing what they've got. So when you look at that church that is pressed on every side, persecuted, I would say at the highest level, they are still sharing. They have nothing, but they have everything. So when you look at the church where we are in the West, the Westernized church, it has so much money. And then you look at this church that we're referring to in the world of the persecuted church, and they have a small bowl of rice. That's all they have, but they are sharing. They are giving.
Yeah.
It's what it's about, giving. There is something powerful about giving. Even when you're persecuted, even when you're in prison, even when you're in a house church, even when you've got nothing, no material possession. I actually think, Sandra, that when you've got no material possession, you've got more.
Yeah.
Because you've got that trapping. So we have a trap over here, but when you're talking about this holy rice, explain to me a little bit more about holy rice. So they will just have a bowl of rice and there'll be a few gathered together and they will just share the grain.
Yeah. And I didn't put down that for, you know, prisons, North Korea, because really it's concentration camps. It's worse than, you know, prison. Yeah. It's like miraculous for them to get out, really.
It is miraculous. You know, it's a miracle. We're not talking about what we got over here, prisons over here. We're talking about concentration.
Yeah,
camps.
I mean, they eat rats. I mean, you know, whatever is you know, on the floor. They you know, it's terrible. It really is terrible. But there are amazing testimonies too. But yeah, whatever they have, they will share it.
So
you know, in the prison.
Carrying on what we're talking about, when you just said that eating rats, sharing rice.
Yeah.
These are the children of God. These are our brothers and our sisters. What a polar opposite to what we have here.
I know.
When you look. And they do not give up on Jesus.
No.
They're eating rats. They're starving. They're not in a prison. Like you said, it is completely a concentration camp. It is not at Her Majesty's pleasure. It is not a place where you've got all what we have on the outside of the prison walls. It is a concentration camp. Your life is threatened. They have no food. They're eating scraps of rice. They're eating rats. They're living in unbelievable conditions. We're sitting here in this little podcasting room with all the comforts and everything around us. And they still follow Jesus. They still follow Jesus under the most horrific conditions. They don't give up on Jesus. There is something powerful about following Jesus that is unbreakable, unshakable, that once you make the connection, and we're not talking about being a religious person, we're talking about someone here that has fallen in love, that has come to an understanding in your life that no matter what, I will not give up on Jesus, and Jesus will not give up on you.
Yeah.
So when we look at them stories, Sandra, and we hear about these prisoners that are caught in these situations, then we look at Christ and we say, Lord, why are they persecuted? What is the reason? Why are they going through so much? What is it, Lord? You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but your children, Father, are suffering at the hands of the enemy. We understand that it's scripture. You know, as the scripture said, when it says, "If as they persecuted me, they will also persecute you."
Yeah.
So this is part of a journey for a believer. Yes. It's to be expected.
Yeah, that's what they say to people, you know, anybody who says they want to follow Jesus in Eritrea. That's what they say to that person. They say, you know, it's a wonderful thing, you know, to know Jesus and to have eternal life. But they'll also say to them, you know, you will suffer for it. And they prepare them for that suffering, and they tell them they probably will end up in prison or something, you know, will happen. You know, unless the Lord chooses otherwise, but they do prepare them.
So hold that thought a minute, Sandra. So you said they prepare the believers to be persecuted.
Yeah, they prepare the believers. That's what, I was reading about one pastor and he said that was his
duty. What great training.
You know,
what a great way to be. So if you're prepared for the very, very worst.
Yeah.
You're not going to get caught out like you might get caught out in the Western church, or like here when something happens, something so small that it's really insignificant. So if you are trained, and as Christ said very clearly in the scriptures, as I've been persecuted, so will you be persecuted. If you are trained and you are going on a journey with your brothers and sisters that you are preparing to be persecuted, that is one of the best trainings I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
That is real true discipleship, that you are being prepared for the worst eventuality on earth. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah,
in Eritrea.
Yeah, Iran, Eritrea, and China. They will tell them that if you follow Jesus, you are going to be persecuted. And there are other countries as well. Asia are now, you know, because of the fines and things, they know that they will suffer hardship. And particularly people who, convert from where you're getting these countries now that are only Hindu, want to be only Hindu or only Islamic or only Buddhist. Mm. They will definitely suffer. And so they are now being told, you know, you need to be prepared for this, you need to be ready. And one thing that Open Doors do is they do special training when they see these things happening beforehand. You know, the Lord does, you know, prepare. So there are pastors who are able to do this, but sometimes the pastors need support themselves. So those pastors will go to these trainings that Open Doors partners will set up and Release International partners will set up, like called Standing Strong, and they will be given, you know, support to know what to do. So information about standing up against the laws when they're, you know, unrighteous, and how to deal with that, and the prison and all these things. So there's a lot of practical things that, you know, they are putting in place to support believers. And discipleship.
So you're being trained for almost the worst journey of your life, but the best journey of your life, because when you follow Christ. So there's a difference in pastoral works in the UK to what there is in Eritrea, in Iran, and all places you're talking about. That you are being prepared for the battle. You are being prepared for a serious war on yourself, that you will possibly lose your life if you follow Christ. That is completely the different drum to what is being beat in the UK. You know, completely different. So I want to thank God for those pastors in them places, that they're preparing the believers, and how scripture that is. You're being prepared as a warrior to go into battle. And we're not just talking about like what some of the churches and what the evangelical church does over here in the UK. That's not preparation and discipleship. This is real discipleship at a level that I've never heard before, that you are being prepared almost to die. You are, as it's Christ, yeah. isn't it? When you think about that, mm-hmm. Christ came to the earth and he had one goal, one aim, one purpose, to die upon the cross, to have the scriptures fulfilled and everything that goes along with that. So when you look at that, them pastors that are training up the church, the secret church, mm-hmm. that is true scriptural training.
Mm-hmm.
That you are an instrument, and being an instrument, you could possibly lose your life.
Yeah, and I think for like these believers as well, as I've read about them, you know, I've said that often what the authorities try to do, they think, oh, if we remove the pastor, then yeah. that'll weaken the church. So they do. They often put pastors in prison. Maybe they'll do it for a short time. So pastors like the one I spoke about, that guy in Iran, he's been in and out of prison, and at the moment he's in prison again. You know, but in what that does is yep. it does strengthen the believers. I mean, some people will struggle with it and do need support, and they do need, obviously need our prayers. But what it seems to do is because the pastor has like you know prepared them and he said this can happen, he goes off into prison. The others think, this is,
we're prepared for this.
Yes,
we're trained.
This is
part of the course.
This is it, you know, and so this has happened. This is what he said would happen, and then they step up to the plate and support
that
the family
with
and
Christ
support
as well, isn't it?
You know, but as
like
I
the
mean,
shepherd,
yeah, it's,
the shepherd
it's
is
not
being
easy,
taken away.
But yeah, he gets
the shepherd
Christ.
Is taken away. There's a price to pay for following Jesus, so that the pastors are copying Christ's role model. When you mm-hmm. when you really think about that and what's going on, he's prepared, as Jesus prepared, he said, I'm going away, but there will be a comforter. I will send a comforter for you. So the pastors are training the flock in the right way to go. They are true shepherding. Look, if I leave, don't worry.
Yeah.
If I leave, do not worry, because this is part of the plan. So when that happens, they go, pastor said, so this is great. This is meant to be.
Yeah, and often the pastor's wives will take on the role where the pastors,
okay.
you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So I thought we'd have a little look at, you know, I thought maybe it'd be interesting to have a look at one lady's story of, you know, being in prison.
And, is this Helen?
Yes, this is Helen. This is Helen Berain. And it's interesting because we're going to look at all those things that I've just talked about.
Yeah.
Because she didn't end up in prison straight away in her case. She was in Eritrea. And in Eritrea, there are three state churches you're allowed to be part of. So that's there's a form of Catholic church there.
Yeah.
There's an Orthodox church. And there's another type of church as well.
So just very quickly, Sandra, outside the three churches, they don't allow that.
It's just
the three that the law says.
Yeah.
But anything outside of that.
So they're state run, and they're not. Yeah.
They're not right. Okay, we got
so,
you.
So she became a Christian, and you know, she wanted to follow Jesus, and you know, so that's evangelical, and so. The only way to do that, the only way to be able to praise God, you know, and actually have the Bible and everything is to go
underground.
But God gifted her with a beautiful voice, and she wanted to sing. And so she decided that she wanted to make songs based on scripture to encourage her brothers and sisters and to help them.
That's really interesting.
And
using your voice and the scripture as a weapon.
Yeah.
As an instrument against the enemy.
Yeah. So she got involved with this group of Christians, but she was quite, you know, when I read her story and it really encouraged me. And
is she radical or is she quiet?
She's radical.
Oh.
I read her story. Yeah. Rees International actually put out a book called Song of a Nightingale. And, you know, and it just tells of a story. So you see Song of a Nightingale, the you know, the beautiful a beautiful song. But yes, a nightingale can be in a cage, can't it?
Restricted.
And she, that's how she was, like, in prison, but still with this beautiful song. Anyway, so what happened to her was that she felt the Lord saying to her that she was to sing on the steps of one of these state churches.
Gosh.
So she did. She sang. She just said, she couldn't stop herself. She just, like, praise God.
God's moving.
You know,
God's
moving. I mean, this is, you know, some years ago, but it's still happening today. There's still people in Eritrea that, you know, are going into prison. But anyway, so she did that. And of course, the authorities said, you can't do that. You know, stop doing that. You're not allowed to, you know, evangelize in that way.
Wow.
So then she started making CDs. She found a way of making CDs.
Nothing to stop the seed.
Yeah. And she kept on with this little group. But of course, like, that was really risky about who she was giving these to.
Yeah.
And somewhere along the line, somebody wasn't, you know...
It wasn't who they said they were.
Yeah,
okay.
And they infiltrated.
There was a trap.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So she ended up being taken to a police station with the other people. They were all sort of arrested. And what happens when they go to the police station, you know, you'd think, you know, you get formal charges and then you get bail. Well, that doesn't happen.
That doesn't happen there.
And you can be held indefinitely there.
Really?
Yeah.
Indefinitely?
Indefinitely, yeah. I don't know, months, you know.
Wow.
So that can happen. So the next thing was that they released them and they warned them. And they, you know, said to them, you know, you mustn't do this again. And then she did something else.
of course.
She had her Bible and they found her again. And this time they said, right, this time you are going to go to prison, you know, because you've flouted the rules again. And,
in our face, you're going to stop this.
Yeah, so she was taken off with some other people to a particular place, and but as you can imagine, it didn't keep her quiet, did it? She sang in prison. She was singing to the inmates because she wanted to raise their spirits, and then she felt the Lord saying to her to write on scraps of paper different, you know, it makes me really...
It's really touching, isn't it?
That she did these scriptures and she gave these scriptures to all these prisoners. And because she did that, they got really angry with her. And they said, you know, you can't stay here because you're sort of like, you're still evangelizing and you're disrupting. So they took her to another prison. And this one was awful. And this is like, you know, what's happening for some brothers and sisters. They put them in containers. And during the day, the heat rises to really bad temperatures.
Oh,
and they just have a little bucket. And at night, it freezes and they all have to huddle together. And but she didn't give up. She carried on. She carried on with her little songs. And... and of course, they threatened her, and then she did her scriptures again, and she just helped with the other prisoners in her,
within
her container. And some of them were getting very distressed, and she wanted to help them, you know. Sadly, what they do is they put you in that situation, and they do hurt people. They do, you know, if they don't do the right thing, or if they, you know, they have hard labor during the day, and if they don't manage to do things, then, you know, the guards are told that they have to beat them and things. And so at night she was wrapping wounds and, you know, all sorts of things.
Horrific.
Like that.
Brutal.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was, but she was still praying and seeking the Lord.
Oh, goodness.
And anyway, there came a point, like, they took her out, you know, some of the things they did are really awful. One time when she was being, you know, hurt, beaten, that she said thank you to the God. She said, I know you're doing your job I know you can't do anything else. This is what you've been called
that
to do. You've been told
that is forgiveness, unconditional love.
Yeah, you've been told to do this. And she said, you've done your job. Anyway, she was so badly injured in that that she was then put in hospital. But that was God's way of enabling her to be released. She was in the hospital, and then they said, we're going to put you into a house, like house arrest sort of thing.
Okay.
And so she was in house arrest. But what I want to say is, during all that time, all these different people that she encouraged, supported, gave scriptures to, that then passed those bits of paper up to other people, you know, the love of Christ all the time, you know, was being shown, and that others were Christians too, and they were doing it, and they were encouraging, and they were like church.
So it was spreading.
Yeah,
was
and spreading. So that's why they kept separating them to other places to try and stop
Thank
that
you,
happening.
Jesus.
And anyway, eventually, what happened was that she, you know, recovered from her...
from the beating.
Yeah, because her legs were badly damaged, they were broken. And so then what happened was that she felt the Lord saying, you can escape. And so she did a really, you know, as I say, she was, you know, took so many risks. And she, somebody helped her to get over the border from Eritrea into Ethiopia. And then she was able, and now she lives in Denmark, and she is still, I've seen her at two conferences as a speaker. And
she's a radical Christian.
She is saying,
come on, use your
freedom.
After that beating, things that we won't go into, what happened to her. So this is the lady, this is Helen that I'm looking at on that card that you have there that has been beaten and other things that have gone on in her life and everything stripped away, her rights, absolutely everything from sanitary all the way through to beating, to whippings, to put in prison, nothing stopped.
Yeah.
Her giving up on Jesus.
And, of course, she wants, you know, you to be, you know, to say for her brothers and sisters who are still in prison, she wants to stand for them.
Yes.
And ask, you know, that people would think of them and pray for them. And to also remind us that, you know, by the grace of God, she was able to stand, and that gives us courage. When we're facing, you know, times of difficulty, opposition, hardship, we can look at these things and see how God... I mean, there were times when she was saying, Lord, you know,
what is this?
What is going on?
What is going on?
You know, but she said then a scripture would come to mind, and she was able to carry
Spirit
on.
Would bring something to her spirit.
And she said she knew people were praying for her. This is, again, the thing that she knew people were praying for. People were writing to her. She had those given to her afterwards, you know, that she realised that, you know, people were, you know, that God's, family were there. And
these are
God,
real followers of Jesus. They, when you listen to these stories that we do week after week, and we're following all this through from a story of Helen very briefly this morning, these are real followers of Jesus. They're not giving up on Jesus. Even though they're whipped, they're beaten, they're locked in a container, the sun's beating down on the metal, it is overheating, they've got no food, they've got no water, they're having all their rights stripped back. They just don't give up. They don't give up. The hardest beating, the whipping, legs broken, put in hospital, having everything done to you, but you do not give up. These are real believers in Christ. They've got no comfort of the church. I'm talking about the material trappings, no nice chairs, no heating, air conditioning. They got none of that going on. They have nothing whatsoever going on in the material world. Their lives have been stripped back, completely beaten. And as you said, and as they will say, God, what is going on?
Yeah, and I mean, I think she really took from Paul, you know, the writings of Paul, and you know, about, because I mean, there's a bit where he says about, I was shipwrecked, I've been beaten.
So, stripped back.
You know, it's nothing new, is it?
It's
these things
new.
Have happened through history.
But,
you know,
when you hear these stories and you look at this lady on this card and you sit where we are sitting today in the church with the windows open, it's relaxing, and you just realise that not very far away, not too far away, there are Christians being killed, being separated from their families, husbands and wives, atrocities happening that we would never ever see in our lives. And I think to myself, why do I moan? Why am I moaning about the most ridiculous things?
Yeah.
And then I hear this and I see this sort of stuff and I think these are real believers. They are real believers in Christ. They are not giving up. They are not giving up. They've got everything stripped back, nothing, but they have everything.
Mm.
Have absolutely everything. Goodness.
I mean, they just take on what Jesus said, you know, follow me.
They take it.
They just follow me.
Follow Christ.
And as she, like she said, there's nothing more beautiful than Jesus. I mean, she,
wow,
you know, she, yeah, she just, what? You know, just really loves Jesus, the freedom in Jesus. And then she said, you know, if you're in an oppressed, you know, in a place, you know what I mean? They say even in prison, you're free because of Jesus. There is no place that you're not free because Jesus brings freedom because he says, you know, he who the Son sets free is free indeed.
He's free indeed.
And she said she knew that freedom. And
so that's an internal thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a freedom within your spirit, your heart, your mind.
Yeah.
That is an internal freedom because...
Yeah.
You're not free on the outside, but you're free internally.
Yeah.
That is the most powerful thing that you could ever have, is to be free within yourself.
Yeah. And you know, that they have this closeness with Jesus, and I keep thinking about eternity, that they have
this is
hope
the purpose
of eternity, that this is momentary.
I'm on
you know,
my
like
way home.
Like you know, these afflictions, doesn't it say? These afflictions are but momentary, but then we have you know, this hope of glory and you know, the heavenly place, you know, that remember that scripture? I get these scriptures.
Yes, okay, partway. Sandra, it's fine.
So you know, we have that it's having that right perspective on our life, that this is a short time. And eternity
is very short, isn't it?
Forever.
Life is very short, very,
being
very fleeting.
Being with Jesus
is for eternity.
You know. So,
wow, that's a bit of almost a conversation stopper this morning, you know, thinking about what they're going through in the containers, freezing cold at night, but she was still sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. No comfort of pulpits, no comfort of microphones, no comfort of air-conditioned buildings, no comfort of being driven into church, no comfort of carpets, no comfort whatsoever, but she was free, free in Jesus.
Mm.
Who the Son sets free is free indeed. So when we, oh gosh, when we look at this lady now, so she's living, did you say, in Denmark?
Yeah, she's in Denmark.
So she's in Denmark, continuing to be radical for Christ, giving out the gospel, singing, and you've seen her a few times.
Yeah.
Wow, what a story. What a fantastic story we've just heard this morning from Sandra. And then that brings us on to a couple of other things, you know, and nothing is stopping the spread of the gospel of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Look of Acts again, go back to the book of Acts. Nothing was going to stop it. They tried all the restrictions. They was trying to wipe out the Christians completely, but they didn't succeed in any way. Under persecution, there is something so spiritual that grows. The Holy Spirit makes a way where there is no way. There is something so powerful that when a believer is being persecuted, doors open, situations arise. You get through. God always makes a way, and that way might be eating a rat. That way might be a way of sharing your rice. That way might be of being beaten, put in prison to find an escape route. And when you think of these things, it is completely the opposite to what your mind and your logic would think about doing. To a westernized Christian, following Jesus is completely different to a persecuted Christian. We have completely different lives, completely different lives. And I really have to ask myself, and I think everyone listening today will be asking the same question, Lord, am I really following you how you want me to? Have I really surrendered myself? Listening to all these things and everything that's going on, we get so robotic over here, don't we? We get so caught in the system of the world. And these guys and girls are really living for Christ. So what restrictions have we got in the UK? What have we got in the UK that could hold us back?
Well, there's not really,
there isn't,
there are things that could happen but aren't happening.
But aren't happening, though. So we are completely free.
Yeah.
We are free to share the gospel, to praise God, you know, and to do all that sort of stuff. And then you look, you bring a parallel with this lady. There was nothing going to stop her spreading the word of Christ. There was nothing going to stop her singing, even though she went through hunger, even though she went through pain, her legs were broken, and goodness knows what else she went through for Jesus. But not that she had every restriction upon her that humanity and evil could bring, but there was no stopping this woman.
No.
Now, when you look at the UK, we don't have any restrictions really at the moment. We might be a bit oppressed at work. Hmm. We might have a bit of a heaviness maybe from a line manager or in a staff room or some position. We might come against a bit of hardship on a street corner.
Yeah.
We might come under a bit of a verbal warning from the authorities. But we have nothing, absolutely nothing in this nation to stop us sharing the gospel.
That's right. And we need to use that freedom so that, you know, speaking to our MPs, when we hear about these things, you know, getting information, as we said, from Release International, CSW, and Open Doors. I mean, CSW were on the news yesterday. I know they were on UCB. I don't know other ones that they were also on the news for, but they were highlighting about this couple in Iran who've lost their appeal, you know, for going to prison for just having, you know, just a home fellowship type church, you know. And so that's been thankfully being brought into the light.
Okay.
Yes. And so, you know, things like that. So, you know, supporting that way, you know, again, we can write letters of encouragement to prisoners as well. Release International particularly do
a bit of literature.
A lot, yes.
A lot, don't they? They've got a lot of stuff.
They are particularly focused on prisoners of faith.
Yeah.
So that's something, you know, what we can do with our freedom. You know, obviously, as we said, you know, 2-minute prayer, that's great. You know, in the car, just pray and say, Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are in prison in Iran, Eritrea, China, you know, just, you know, wherever we know that they're in prison, Pakistan, and just giving thanks for our freedom as well, you know. So looking at the websites, there's a
key,
lot of things.
It?
Yeah, so prayer is the key again. You
believers
know.
Maybe listening, or churched, unchurched, whoever's listening today and through the timeline of technology. So what is the best way someone can support a fellow brother or sister, or someone who's really wanting to do the best that they possibly can for a persecuted Christian, is simply, I don't like to use that word simply, but it's to pray, isn't it?
Yeah, it is to pray.
Firstly, to pray.
Yeah.
To get in contact with some organisation.
Yeah.
So much information on the internet, so much information we can get out there. Maybe get hold of this book, you know, get hold of the book.
Yeah, Song of the Nightingale.
Song of the Nightingale, that would be a fantastic read. Get hold of that, have a read, listen to a story. So prayer support is very, very important.
Yeah, and writing, cards particularly. Card writing, because I know even if they can't get them in prison, when they come out, it's such a part of their healing process,
their
I've had a lot of different things, you know, through Open Doors and Release International saying, you know, how prisoners, when they've been released, saying, oh, you know, thank you for thinking of me. And they really helps them in that rehabilitation process, you know, because we are encouraged that prisoners do get released. So while they're in prison, they may evangelize and, you know, through the hardships, and then they are, many are released, and we do pray for that. And that's a bit of Release International.
That's a bit of Release. Yeah.
But what we can do, particularly if we look at Hebrews 13, verse 3, it says, remember those in prison as if you were in prison with them. Those who are mistreated, since you yourself are in the body also. So like we said, you know, we're in the body. So, yeah, we hurt. So, we can sort of like, you know, just think in their place. And just like
putting ourselves with them in that situation.
Remember them and think, what would I like if I was in that situation, if I was in prison, if I, you know, like we've had this experience, haven't we, of lockdown and not being able to go out the house. And what did we do then? Well, we, you know, text somebody, didn't we, to encourage them. We asked them how they were. And
a form of getting to each other.
Yeah, so
that's an interesting scripture there, Sandra. Hebrews 13, verse 3. Remember those in prison as if you were in prison with them.
Yes.
Trying to put ourselves into their situation, into a horrific situation, trying to get ourselves into that position and pray as if we are sitting next to them, huddled up to them, we are hungry with them. That is a really powerful text. Hebrews 13, verse 3. Remember those that are in prison as if you was in prison with them.
Yeah.
Pray,
yeah.
Pray, pray. It is so important to pray, to never give up in prayer, to keep lifting our brothers and our sisters up around the world that are in persecuted situations, in containers, in under house arrest, having their liberties and their rights stripped completely away from them, taken away from their families. Prayer changes things.
Yeah, and I'd like to just finish with Helen's prayer. She says, pray with me, you know. So like we're saying, it's with. We pray with our brothers and sisters. They're praying with us. It's as if, you know, we're holding hands and we're partnering. Yeah, we're holding hands with them.
Our hearts are together. Our faith is together.
Yeah.
We are together.
So it says, Father God, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Eritrea at this time, particularly those who have been imprisoned for Jesus.
Come on, Lord,
I remember how you were with me through my dark time
in
prison.
Thank you, Jesus.
I remember how I could hear your voice and you lifted me up in spirit as your beloved through that terrible evil. I particularly pray for those friends I know that are still suffering in prison for their love for you, Lord God. I pray for our brother John in Ethiopia too. May he find peace, protection and love, and may he continue to be strengthened by you, Jesus. We pray for his dear wife, Gwent, and their children. Keep them in grace and peace forever. Amen.
What a beautiful prayer.
Yeah.
And that's come directly from Helen.
Yeah. And Brother John, what happens is often that when they do get out or they, you know, they go to Ethiopia and they become asylum seekers there. And so he was one of those that she knew then and now lives in Ethiopia. So there is a church of Eritrean believers in Ethiopia.
Starting to move, a growth, a move. The seed is in Eritrea growing. Well, Sandra, we want to thank you so much for everything you brought to the table this morning. You've been listening with myself, Reverend Benjamin Leonard Cooper, and our lovely sister Sandra, who does so much work in the world of the persecuted church. She is full of information. If you need to know anything, please go online, look at CSW, Open Doors, Release International. So much literature about the world of the persecuted church. But I think that we leaving this where it is today, the most important thing that we can take from today is to never give up.
Mm-hmm.
Is to never give up. God will always make a way.
Yeah.
Even though it might seem brutal, even though that we think that God may have left us, he is making a way. And sometimes we have to go through the most horrendous things that we could ever imagine for Jesus. And that brings me to thinking about that scripture as we mentioned earlier, and that as they persecuted me, expect it on yourself. And that pastors that you mentioned earlier on, that they are training the flock
to
for the
ready.
Worst, the worst thing. What is going to happen to you?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great way to think. I'm going to get into the scripture. I'm going to train myself. And as David in 1 Samuel made it very clear, he said, David strengthened himself in the Lord.
Yes.
That's really important to remember, that we need to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. And we do put too much weight on the church in the UK. We put too much weight on relying and expecting pastors and bishops and leaders to do all what they do. But what is really important in this COVID period, I really believe, Sandra, is that we are like these persecuted Christians in a roundabout way, where we are isolated, where things have been stripped away, and it's time for the church to be the individual and really be a disciple and a follower of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we've got none of the persecution that's going on like they're seeing at all, but what I'm just trying to refer to, it's about the individual relationship with Jesus. You know, as the pastors might be stripped away from them in Eritrea and all other places around, and then suddenly the pastors are saying, look, I am going to leave you. You will need to strengthen yourself, and there will be a time when you will be on your own.
Yeah.
But that is such a scripture right out of the New Testament, where Christ says, I am going to be leaving you, but I'm going to send the Comforter.
Mm. Yeah.
So I really believe that we are sitting in very powerful, very biblical times like we've never seen before. And it is a time, as we are pulling these stories out here, they're very individual. Yes, they're part of the body, and we are part of that body, but it's about strengthening yourself in the Lord and never giving up.
Mm-hmm.
Never give up in Jesus.
Yeah.
Never give up. So, Sandra, I want to thank you. Thank you so much. I just wondered if you could just say a small prayer for us. Just bring us to a close, you know, just in a prayer, just to bring us for a closing prayer. Thank you for joining us. It's Reverend Ben Cooper and Sandra joining us this morning in this lockdown period. And we just want to say thank you for listening. Sandra, could you please bring us to a close?
Oh, Father, we just thank you that we've been able to share this this morning, this story of Helen. And just highlight, you know, the things that you wanted to highlight about your brothers and our brothers and sisters in prison, your children, Lord, that are suffering, Lord. But, you know, just as you said, you know, to give us courage in our dark times, Lord, strengthen that we might have, Lord, to appreciate what is going on and to remember that we are part of one body.
Amen.
And that you know, when one hurts, then you know, the other hurts. And so, Lord, let us have that compassion, and let us not get fatigued about caring for others, Lord. And just show us, Lord, how we might be able to help. Maybe, Lord, you're calling us to support a prisoner, Lord. You know, it's not for us to do everything, but Father, I pray people listening today, maybe, Lord, you're saying to them, you know, I'd like you to write to a prisoner, Lord. I'd like you to find out a bit more about it. And Father, you know, that we just thank you for all the different organizations that we can find out information. We're just so rich,
Lord,
with all information.
Open the way. Make a way,
you know,
Lord.
So we just pray that, you know, we would really think about our brothers and sisters and the fact that we are one body, and that, you know, you love each one of us. And we just thank you for your grace and your mercy for those that in prison now, Lord, that you help them. You know, today, with whatever they're facing, Lord, that you give them the strength, that you bring scripture to mind, Lord, if they're struggling.
Hallelujah.
And, Lord, the gospel
strengthen
will go out
in
power and truth,
Father,
Lord, within
the
prisons, Lord, as you want
Lord.
So wherever they're at, Lord, and wherever we're at today, will you meet us? And, we just give ourselves in your service, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sandra. May God bless you. Stay safe. Keep in the word of God and never give up. Let's be real, true disciples and followers of Jesus Christ. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.